Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, now in the Green Scene today, the Great Barrier Reef under threat, but first the shark Fitbit and other wearables for marine animals. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Wearables for marine creatures.
I know, we've all got very used to tracking everything that we do with something on our wrist, and now that technology is proving very, very useful to keep a closer eye on some of the species that live in the sea. And one of the first examples is for basking sharks, which is something that we're quite familiar with here in Ireland. They're one of the largest sharks in the sea. These gentle giants with their huge mouths that go around sucking in small, tiny animals and zooplankton that they eat. But research, and it involves Trinity College here in Oregon State University, they've been tagging some of the basking sharks that we have around our coast. And we had research a couple of years ago which identified that these sharks are actually warm-blooded, and they're one of only a tiny percentage of sharks that can keep their body temperature above the water temperature. And that gives them the energy to do things like breach nearly 2 metres out of the water. So we're still unravelling kind of the fascinating biology of these creatures.
When you say breach, leaping out of the water.
Leaping all the way out of the water, exactly. And of course, one of the things that we're very interested in is the number of these that are around our coast. And these sort of wearables now can also have video footage built in. And of course, we also have things like AI technology, which help us to analyse hours and hours of video footage that maybe would have been very difficult before, or maybe would have been the job of some poor PhD researcher. But these Fitbits we're seeing now, particularly off the coast of Kerry, which is our first marine protected, our marine national park. So we have 28,000 hectares now off the coast of Kerry that is our first marine national park. And we are seeing significant numbers of basking sharks there. And these wearables are helping us to track even individual instances that are happening. And these are important. So in one instance, it's a bit harrowing, a shark that was hit by a fishing vessel. And the shark, once it was hit, it was obviously injured quite badly. It dived all the way to the bottom of the ocean. And we were able to see this in real time. And I mean, the tag stayed active and we could see that the shark didn't resume, you know, normal swimming and normal behaviour.
It died, one presumes.
Well, it may have died, or certainly may have been very, very badly injured. So this helps us to consider, you know, policy issues around, like, how much fishing can we allow in these national parks? What types of fishing can we allow? And what kind of impact are they really having on the species there?
Now, where else are they doing this kind of tagging?
Yeah, so they're also using them in Australia for the sea lions. And here, they actually were able to glue these special cameras and GPS trackers to 8 female sea lions and watch them out in the ocean. And they were able to capture 90 hours of footage with these females covering over 500 kilometres of activity. And again, revealing really interesting behaviours. Things like they were swimming with pods of dolphins as dolphins were feeding on a ball of sardines that they'd captured, so that sea lions were nipping in and taking advantage of the dolphins' hunting techniques. They were getting up to mischief, like nipping the tail of some sharks in the sea. But also we were seeing the first direct evidence of how sea lion mums are training their pups to hunt. So how they're taking them out. Many of us have seen it with orcas before, you know, where a mum will grab a little seal off a beach and take it out and play with it. And we could see sea lions doing the same kind of real life training with their pups.
I mean, you can see it in your home with the dog. If you have a dog as pups, how they, or a cat with kittens.
Absolutely.
And they teach their kids to hunt.
But isn't it a wonderful that we have these really relatively cheap and easily accessible technologies now that are giving us access to all this kind of new and fascinating.
Now, you mentioned the Australian sea lion. Let's talk Australia again. The Great Barrier Reef under threat. I had thought it was recovering.
Yeah, and like you, you know, many people will have seen headlines back in kind of 2022 that coral levels, particularly in the North and Central Reef, were the highest they had been since monitoring had begun 36 years ago. So that was really good news. And I think probably surprised some scientists that had been looking at the reef. But this is new work that's really trying to understand what is going on. And one of the things that probably is important to say is that there was a bit of an abatement in some of those high temperatures in maybe between 2018 and 22. So what happened then was, because there was a bit of a reprieve, there was still damage, but the coral did start to recover a little bit. But it does look like the summer in Australia, the last summer during our winter, that looks like it's been the hottest summer on record. So really we're waiting to see what will happen. And this new research, what the scientists did was they managed to actually reconstruct the temperatures on the reef over the last 400 years. And what they found was the summer that's just gone was 1.73 degrees hotter than all of the average years before 1900. And it certainly is the highest that we've ever seen.
So coral being a living thing, we should have some research on what it can tolerate.
Exactly. And this is going to tell us that. And of course, the thing that happens with coral, we hear about bleaching. So it goes white because we see all these beautiful, vibrant colours when we see sort of documentaries about coral reefs. And that's because there's little algae, zooxanthellae, which live inside the coral and give it this colour. They're photosynthetic algae. But when the heat comes, the coral actually expels these algae under stress and they can't feed as easily. And of course, the other thing that happens, it's a bit like our forests. When we cut down our native forests and we replant, we get sort of a monoculture. And the same thing seems to have happened on the reef. So when we look at the coral that's come back, most of the coral is a species of coral called Acropora. So again, people might know this elk's horn or stag's horn coral or tabletop coral, but it's very, very delicate when it comes to things like typhoons because it's a hard coral and it's tall. So with ever increasing storms, it's quite vulnerable. And the other thing is it is the favourite food of the crown of thorn starfish, which is an invasive species that has got onto the reef. So I suppose what scientists are saying is we just need to be careful when we see headlines like this about recovery, what's really going on behind the headlines.
There are some kind of daft ideas as to how to protect the corals.
Well, they may or may not be daft, I suppose. I mean, this whole area of geoengineering, you know, it depends how bad things get with the climate, Pat, whether these are silly ideas or not. But it is this idea about can we actually start to control the climate? And this idea is marine cloud brightening. And it has been trialled in Australia actively at the moment. So the idea is you spray sea salt up into the air and you actually create very bright white clouds and they reflect the sunlight away from the reef. So in 2020, trials started in Townsville in Australia. They did seem to work. They seemed to provide some cooling for the reef. And now the idea is they may be rolled out more. But I mean, as you say, like this idea that we've got to the point that we have to do these type of things to protect what are some of our most precious natural areas, you know, it does really show us that we have to accelerate everything else we can do to try and prevent this warming from happening.
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland, thank you very much.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.